Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message.
All right, all right. Come on, somebody say, all right. Hey, nudge your neighbor, tell him, say, I'm not afraid. Say, I ain't afraid. Take you to school. Say, I ain't gonna be, never should be afraid. Not afraid of what? Not afraid of the enemy. Not afraid of his attacks. I'm not afraid of the storms around me. And I'm not afraid of the adversity that's coming towards me. Not afraid. Come on, somebody shout it out. Say, not afraid. Not afraid. Not afraid. Not afraid. Well, last week we kicked off this little talk. It's a little two-part series that I entitled simply this, Understanding Adversity. Understanding Adversity. I'm so glad that, how many were here last week for part one? Awesome, awesome. If you weren't, I encourage you to go back to podcast and check it out. Those of you that are here for the very first time, we're so excited that you're here. I got to see some newer faces, familiar faces to me in the community, but new faces in here, and really excited that you're here. Can we just give it up for all of our guests and all of our family? Yeah. If the pastor can correct himself, let me say this. You are no longer a guest. After you walk in the door, you too are family, and we look out for family in this house. Amen. Can't say that about every house. And y'all like, you must be talking about where I live. No, I'm just saying, you can't say that about every family, that you look out for one another. But we truly do. We love one another. The Bible, matter of fact, the Bible says that they will know. Who are they? They are the people on the streets. They will know him by our love for, not for them, but our love for one another. The reason people, lost people, won't come in the church, well, lost people, that's all of us. We're all lost. We're all broken people, okay? So not to segregate there, we're all broken people. And the reason most broken people won't come into the church is because they see how bad we backbite and stab each other. But not in this house. We love one another. Amen? Amen. I know that I'm going to catch some flack from the enemy today, because anytime you start exposing his lies and his inconsistencies, he brings on adversity. But I'm not afraid. I'm not scared, because I know who's in control. And the church said, amen. It's so funny, because in putting this together, I try to put stuff, you know, in a pattern, and then sometimes I'll sit down and I don't get anything, and then there'll be other times I'm driving down the road and my spirit's kind of thinking about what direction we're going to go, and he'll drop something in my spirit, and I'll put it in my phone for later, because if I don't, I'm just of the age, if I don't put it in my phone, thank God for smartphones, because I'm a dummy, and if I don't put it in a smartphone, I'll forget. And so sometimes it doesn't happen that way. It happens when you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you try to go back to sleep, and the enemy, not the enemy, then God, I don't know why y'all thought I was looking at her when I said the enemy. Y'all gonna get me in trouble. I know some of y'all was like, wait, Pastor B was looking at Miss Amy. And no, sometimes God will drop stuff on me right in the middle of the night. I woke up and I try to go back to sleep. And this is what he told me about adversity. And I can relate, because anybody else in the house not like math in school? I love my math teachers, in case they're listening. But I did not like the subject math. Matter of fact, it showed in my grades. That just wasn't one of my, I mean, I almost didn't graduate because of my math score. Matter of fact, I tried to deny what it was so much all the way to my senior year. And I got a letter that I had to take to mom and dad that said, if he doesn't take night school, he won't graduate. Whoa, let me tell you something. Don't avoid the truth. Just accept it. And get on it. Some, nudge your neighbor, tell them, say, get on it. So in the middle of the night last night, this is what he told me. He said, adversity is like a math word problem. I did not like math. I was good at 5 plus 5. But you start talking about, we go into the grocery store, and there's 5 barrels of apples that have 20 apples in them apiece. I'm like, wait, what? That's like adversity. Because, see, because word problems, a word problem, it, what makes it a problem is that we don't know or understand what's going on. You lost me after I got five barrels or five baskets, but then you said, and then you're going to tell me I got 20 in each. And then you start throwing in that demon-possessed math called algebra and pre-algebra. It had to be created by demon-possessed people, because who uses that stuff? And there's going to be somebody after church who goes, well, brother, I actually use that in my business. Okay, I'm sorry. Not every illustration I use has been modified for today's standards, but it's the same thing with adversity. We see adversity as an unresolved or unsolvable problem because we don't understand it. That's how I was with those word problems. That's why I didn't like math, because I was good with all the number, numeric stuff. But then when it got to those word problems, I left them. I didn't even look at them. And we do the same thing with adversity. We will actually give up and abandon the destiny that God has for our life because we don't understand, we don't know what good is going to come from this thing, this adversity, this thing that's trying to stop me. We will abandon, give up. You ever seen an abandoned ship or an abandoned house? It was once occupied. It actually had vibrant things going on. Some of you here today have had dreams and visions and things that God has put inside of you. It may not be starting a church. It could be starting a business, an entrepreneur. It could be, but because adversity is coming at you, that thing that once carried life, that thing that once put life inside of you, because adversity came and you didn't understand it, it was a math word problem. You abandoned it, and life left you and the dream. That's why I wanted to stop for 2 weeks and talk about, let's understanding adversity. Adversity is something that every one of us in this room face. There's not a single person in here that goes through a week that doesn't. You may not even go through 24 hours without facing adversity. Some of you, no. not today. I want y'all to love Pastor B today. I'm just kidding. But having an understanding of adversity is the key. Understanding adversity is the key that unlocks the persistence that we need to keep going. Understanding what's going on, understanding that there's a purpose, even though we don't agree with that statement, even though we don't like it, there is adversity is actually the key that unlocks the persistence that we need to keep going and never give up. But there's a danger, and it's this, that if we don't understand adversity, we'll give up at the first sign of it. If we don't understand it, I just walk away. That's why when Kevin and Cheyenne, we went through premarital counseling yesterday here at the church, and they're getting married next weekend, and I told them, I said even before the honeymoon starts, after you say I do, the honeymoon's over. The real work and the real test is going on, because you can actually portray one thing. You can make someone feel like this is who you are, and this is why marriages end in divorce, because we've played dress up. We've went for Pinterest perfect families, and there is no such thing. And at the first sign of adversity, we'll turn and walk away, because this is not what I signed up for. Well, first of all, you didn't sign up for anything. You got into a covenant with someone other than your spouse. There should have been a third person there, and his name is Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way your marriage is going to work. If you think it's just between you two, it's just going to take somebody. So when adversity comes, just remember, that's the key that I need to give me persistence to stay the course. It's actually, adversity is actually an indicator that you're on the right street. It's an indicator. Everybody say indicator. The old saying that knowledge is power, today I want to give you some power. We must understand the purpose of adversity and where it comes from. Author James Allen said, and I quote, "Adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it." It's like that saying, when you squeeze a lemon, what's on the inside comes out. It was Albert Einstein who said, "Adversity introduces a man to himself." There is no greater selfie that you can take to actually sit without filters. There's no greater selfie that you can take than adversity. Because adversity will reveal exactly who you are on the inside. Adversity will show you what your marriage really is. Adversity is the pressure that reveals what you're made of. So it's important that today we understand, when we leave here today, my goal is for you to leave with hope, to leave uplifted, and to leave knowing that whatever you're going through, you're not alone in it. One of the first things we must remember every time adversity comes, and this was point number one for last week. I'm going to just give you a couple from last week, and we're going to move to the finish line in this talk. And it's, remember that God is for you. Recognize and realize that God is for you. Anytime adversity comes, the first thing you need to remember is God is for me. So if God be for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, this right here, this mess does not matter. Now there's two kinds of messes. There's a mess that you created, and there's three kinds. There's a mess that you created, there's a mess that the enemy is bringing, and then there's a mess that God will allow to happen. And God will also allow you to go through the mess that the enemy's created, and he will also allow you to go through the mess that you created, because he will never give you a life that makes him irrelevant. I've got to be confident in the fact of knowing, regardless of what I'm facing. Anybody facing adversity right now? You still carrying some from last week? Anybody? Just so I know who I'm talking to. Anybody? Because if not, I mean, we'll just go home. If y'all don't need to know how to overcome adversity, I mean, hey, it's all good. Listen, I've got to be confident in this fact that God is for me. If not, I will automatically believe that everyone else is against me. Anytime you see somebody who's going, woe is me, they're talking about me, everybody's against me, that's somebody who is not confident within themselves that God is for me. Because if you know that God is for you, what they think about you does not even matter. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching way too good today. It's the truth. If I'm confident that what he says about me, I'm not concerned about what you think. If you don't like my haircut, that's okay. God gave me this. I mean, my daddy's DNA had a lot to do with it. I'm just saying. But God made me this way. Adversity. Accept it. I looked at my pillow one day in my 20s, early in the morning. It was adversity. I tried to pick it up and put it back, and it fell down here. I don't know. The second point, I work with what I got, people. Work with what I got. The second point, when adversity comes, be confident that you know that God is for you, but also recognize that Satan is against you. There is an enemy, and I'm going to say it again just for those who weren't here last week. Your spouse is not the enemy. Yes, they may know the right buttons to push, but it's the enemy that motivates them, even though they don't realize it, to push that button to send you over the edge for you to face adversity so that he can destroy your marriage and your home. Your boss is not your enemy. Your family member is not your enemy. Your church family member is not your enemy. That's a lie of the enemy, straight from the pit of hell, and you should tell it, go back to it. I told you last week that how you handle a trial, how you handle adversity, Pastor B don't always get this right. How you handle it will determine how God can use it in your life. God uses adversity to test your character. The Bible also teaches us, oh, this is so good. The Bible also teaches us that whatever the enemy steals from you, he must, everybody say he must. It's a requirement. He must repay seven times over. So if you've ever had anything that the enemy has stolen from you, think about it this way. Sometimes God will allow the enemy to take your stuff just so he can use the enemy to bless you exponentially over and over and over again. God will allow the enemy to steal your stuff so he can then force the enemy to give you back seven times what he stole. So when adversity comes, don't get mad. Just say, guess what? If he stole your cargo trailer, make room in the backyard, baby, because there's seven more going to get lined up. I'm just talking real stuff. Y'all see it on Facebook. Somebody stole my trailer. Be on the lookout for this pickup truck. You may not get seven trailers. But you will. His word says that the enemy will repay and restore seven times what he stole. We don't like that blessing, though.
He stole my stuff.
We don't see that as a blessing. What am I saying? Don't get stuck in the trial. Don't get stuck in the face of adversity. Don't get stuck at the wall when you hit it. What am I saying? The next point. Adversity will advance you if you'll let it. If you will let it, adversity will advance you. God uses trials to train you. Now, adversity comes in many different packages. This is kind of where this particular message is going, because this is one that I understand personally, and I'm pretty sure that if you have air in your lungs today and you're breathing with a heartbeat, you have faced it too, and it's this. Sometimes adversity comes as a person. What do you do when the closest people to you, the ones that you thought were actually going to cheer you on and want you to be successful, actually aren't even there for you at all? What do you do when the very ones that you thought were going to support you are actually jealous of you? Well, I'm sorry to say that it still happens in Chiefland too. It's true. What do you do? Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. This is a story of Joseph in the coat of many colors and everything. We're not going to go through the whole story today. I encourage you in your own private reading, which, yes and amen, I believe that you do that throughout the week. Read this story. It's amazing, and we're going to highlight some of it. And I started it last week with verse 5, 37:5, but I'm going to keep on going through verse 11. And it says this: one night Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. You'll find out why. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. I don't know about y'all, but if one of my brothers said that, bro. Okay, we'll get there, because what I was thinking, they were thinking too. And it's, he went on to say in verse 8, his brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. So Joseph had another dream. Everybody say another dream. Yeah, it seems like God would have slowed the dream patterns down just a little bit because the hatred was real thick in the house. But he didn't. So Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream. And he said, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. Now, what you have to understand is Joshua was the 11th brother of 12. So he just said, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars all bowed before me. Just in case you didn't catch the clue on the first dream, y'all gonna bow before me. I mean, he's a little cocky little 17-year-old. And he's 17-year-old little teenager. Just a little young buck. And he said, this time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what this dream meant. Here's Joseph, 17 years old, obviously immature, very. Yet God chooses Joseph and gives Joseph a dream. Joseph was not only favored by God, but the Bible says in this story that he was favored by his father. So much so that his daddy made him a coat of multicolors. What they got was brown. Can y'all see little spunky 17-year-old? Hey, guys, you like my jacket? See the colors? I don't know why my voice went to helium tank. I have no idea. But see the red? See the purple? See the orange? See the yellow? Look at yours. It's brown. You ain't got a sibling like that? Just, you're like, because they in here. I'm not raising my hand. It's true. Listen, anytime you have the favor of your father, you'll always have to deal with the hatred of your brothers. Anytime you have the favor of your heavenly Father, guess what? You're also going to have the hatred of your brothers. If their heart, and I'm speaking of brothers in the church family. I don't mean necessarily this church. I'm saying one church, they don't like the favors on you, so they mad about you. We're all family. But anytime you have the favor of your Father, get ready, watch out. You will have the hatred and jealousy of your brothers. I know that it preaches real good, but you don't like to hear it, but it's true. Listen, pride and jealousy will always block you from having a grateful spirit towards your brother or sister in the Lord. Selah, done. We see this in churches and in other pastors against other against. When you walk into their deal and they don't talk to you, listen, pride and jealousy will always block the grateful spirit. Man, when I see somebody else who's my brother in the Lord, man, if God is doing something in your church, I want to celebrate with you. Guess why? Because I'm planting a seed that God will say, you know what, that's fertile soil. I'm going to let that same thing happen. And if we have an opportunity to bless somebody else, I want to bless somebody because I want to plant fertile soil, and I want to plant seeds in it. I want God to know, I can trust them with this. I'm not mad about it if you're doing something for the kingdom. We're supposed to be doing this all together anyway. I'm going to move right on because, But it's so true. I struggle with people who carry the name Christ's follower, but they don't look anything like him when they're actually dealing with family. And you can't convince me that pride and jealousy isn't present if you're ungrateful. Moving right along. I know it makes people feel uncomfortable when I tell the truth, but sometimes the reason it's continued to go on for on and on and on is because everybody wants to stick their head in the sand and let's not talk about it. And let's let the enemy keep kicking us. Anytime there's division within the church, anytime there's division within inside the small church or the church as a whole, it's always traced back to the enemy. You can't convince me that it's anything with God, because God is full of love and mercy, and there's grace, and love covers a multitude of sin. Listen, some of the closest people to you will be the ones to challenge you the most. What am I saying? Listen, you've got to make it. If you can make it through the hatred of your brothers and those closest to you, your dream will survive. There'll be no other adversity that will come. If you can make it through those closest to your heart, if you can make it through their jealousy and their hatred and their misunderstanding of you, if you can make it through that, what God is allowing to happen is if your heart can stand that, then your heart can stand any small adversity that comes. That's why you've got to be settled in your heart that you can make it through any opposition. You got to get it settled in your heart. God is for me. The enemy is against me. This is an attack of the enemy. God is for me, and he's not going to let me walk through this by myself. That's the end of the message. We're almost there. So what do you do with haters? My next point, don't hate the haters. Y'all know that old saying, don't hate the player, hate the game. Did I say that right? Some of y'all are like, I don't know. It sounds right, but I ain't saying it because then you'll know what. No, I'm just playing. But I say, don't hate the hater, hate the game. Don't hate the hater, hate the player. The player is the devil. And who's getting played is you. So don't hate the hater, hate the game. Because haters need grace too. And just so you understand what happens, if because haters, and it's in this story, and I want you to read this story, and you can come back and tell me what you got out of it. God will actually use your haters to become helpers. The ones that were jealous of him actually in the end became helpers. But if somebody who you would consider a hater doesn't come under the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ, this is what happens. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. Says this, what are worthless and wicked people like? They're constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of an eye. Ever had somebody like that? They so foolish. They so dumb. I can't believe it. It's what he said. Worthless, wicked people. Constant liars signaling their deceit with a wink of an eye, a nudge of their foot, or the wiggling of fingers. I don't know which finger they're wiggling, but okay. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. Listen, the thought of having haters only propels me forward. The thought of somebody not liking B lets signals to me I'm on the right street. Keep pressing forward. If the flood waters are rising and the storm's coming, just roll them up, baby, and keep on walking. You just keep on going on the same street. Listen, haters are not bad. They're doorkeepers to your destiny. Write that down. A hater is a doorkeeper to your destiny. God will position them. He's always going to make sure that your destiny, the thing that he put inside of you, that if under your surrender, it will be fulfilled. And the ones that were jealous and hated will actually be right there. So don't hate the hater. Hate the game. In the last remaining moments that we have, I want to share with you probably my number one frustration, and I really thought about did I want to share this, but I really believe that it's where all of us are in dealing with frustration with adversity in our walk with Christ. And my frustration lies in this: knowing who God is. Let me explain. The reason I get so mad at sickness and disease and cancer is because I know who God is and I know what he's capable of doing. I'm just going to be real today. What frustrates me more about adversity is that I serve a God who can handle it and flatten it. Whether it's a person, whether it's cancer, whether whatever it is, my frustration comes in. And it's probably one of the most adversities that tends to take people out of the church who love Jesus is the fact that they know who he is and they know what he's capable of, yet they still have to sit in this. I wouldn't get so frustrated in the middle of a struggle if I didn't know that my God was able to get me out. There is nothing more frustrating than walking through adversity and knowing that God is more than able to just let me get out of this thing. Anybody else? Yeah. Listen, sometimes healing doesn't happen the way you prayed it would. Oh, it happened, but it didn't happen the way you felt that it would. Because a lot of our prayers are not 99.9% of our prayers are selfishly prayed. God, heal my loved one. Heal her because I don't want her to leave. I want her to be here. He answered prayer, but the way he wanted it. I get up on a Sunday and I declare, there is a hope. I'm more than a conqueror. And then on Monday morning, all hell breaks loose. That's why I said I'm ready, because I know what's coming today. I know because my mouth and my will is surrendered. So I know what the attack's going to be. Just like most Mondays, when I stand up here and declare before the Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me or you will prosper. Though the weapon may be formed, it won't prosper. And then all hell comes against me. And then I get frustrated because here I am, God. I'm trying to do what you called me to do. Now my hot water heater blew up. My car now needs a new battery. They should have checked that at the dealership last night when I picked it up. Oh, y'all never had that happen to you. You come to church and you get you pumped. You're ready for God to do something, and you get some bad news right before you come out here. Way to keep me motivated, God. Listen. Because he wants me to understand that he is for me and not against me. And he is with me regardless. He wants to know, will you be faithful to what I called you to do regardless of what you're having to walk through? Will you be faithful to what I've called you to do regardless of what you're having to walk through? Listen. What do I do when I feel like my prayers aren't being heard? Listen, don't mistake the silence of God as the absence of God. I'll never forget one of the days after Robin passed, I went to visit Dad, and I remember going home, and I told Amy, I said, something's changed. Because every blind in the house was closed, and Dad was like, first thing in the morning, we opened them up. Music was playing. But that day, after a visit, I went over to take some food. This was a couple days after Robin passed. Blinds were closed, no music was on, and I walked in and I said, kind of quiet in here. And Dad said, same is my conversation from heaven right now. Silence. He's praying, why? Never mistake the silence of God for his absence. And I only share that not to show a weakness in him, but for you to understand that regardless, because he was a powerhouse, y'all remember. But in spite of all of that, in spite of he blessed every single person who came to the visitation and ministered to them and all of our family and all of that, behind closed doors, he was broken, felt alone and afraid, and he couldn't get a word from heaven. And he felt alone. Some of you are in the midst of adversity. While trying to uphold and do all of the things that you know God is asking of you, come to church, tithe, sing to me, worship me, make me the center of your home and your life and your family. You're doing all of those things, but yet you're still facing adversity. Listen. You can't see him because you're covered up by him. He's carrying you through it. You can't see him because you're covered up by him. If he said he'll never leave you, then guess what? He's not going to start when things start getting crazy. He's right there. Don't buy into the lie of the enemy that you're by yourself. Well, we don't get an answer from God right away, so we diagnose it ourselves. He must be mad at me. That's why he's not answering my prayer. It's not how that works. When adversity comes, you've got to get in his word and start speaking faith over your situation. Let me just turn the tide here. Let me turn the tide. We've been talking about negative stuff, so let me just turn. When you face adversity, begin speaking his word and start speaking faith over your situation and circumstances. You've got to start praying scripture over your circumstances. Let me share one with you. One that I have prayed, whether out loud or in my spirit, in my quiet time, when I face some of the darkest moments in my life. As a husband, as a pastor, as a single guy, when adversity strikes, when people that I thought would be there to support me weren't, they were actually jealous, and it was the people closest to me. I really thought. Let me show you. It's Psalms chapter 27, verse 1 through 6 says this: the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, say ugly things about me, post nasty stuff about me on social media, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Not be afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. We kicked off this talk today. I'm not afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. This one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek the most, if you want to know my heart, the heart of your pastor, here it is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. Let me stop right there. It is a sacrifice. A lot of times when we come in here and we start lifting up the name of Jesus, somebody says, well, why should it be a sacrifice? Because I had a week just like you did. Just because you see me up here. It's our breath and your our lungs. Whatever the lyrics are. I am his vessel. This is belongs to him. But this vessel has been getting hit with some adversity. But God, it's your breath in my lungs. So I pour out my praise. It's a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice, sacrifice. There's been blood, sweat, and tears shed so that we can have the freedoms that we all have today. Sacrifice. Somebody said, because I want you to identify what a sacrifice is. Blood, sweat, and tears. Sometimes you got to come into the presence of God and go, I don't feel like it. You know why I don't feel like it. And we try to convince ourselves that because of the week we've had, it's okay. He understands. So I'll pour out my praise. Pour out my praise. It's your breath. No, sometimes it needs to be a sacrifice. It needs to be, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, but bless God, I got to give you something. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. If you want God to come, you got to give him something to inhabit. If you're standing there like this, he can't even come into that mess. I'm just being real. I'm not trying to be hard. I know we all come from different backgrounds and all of that, but all I'm saying is if I go to a football game and I get excited about a piece of leather going back and forth across the field only because I paid $500 for a ticket or whatever it is, depends on if you got a losing team or winning team, Gators, y'all, $25, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just want to see if y'all are still there. God dealt with me with this a long time ago. I'm almost done. Praise team, y'all come because I gotta land this plane. I'm about out of fuel. It's fine if we worship differently. Let me keep this. I may need that just to make sure I get my last. It's fine if we worship differently. And we all worship something. This is a sign of worship. This is a sign of worship. Sometimes you gotta get that way in your worship time. Huh? If adversity's been coming at you, you got to get with it. Somebody said, well, I don't understand that. You do it the game. When the Gators actually, excuse me, when FSU finally does win. Go! Run that ball! Come on! Come on! Come on! That's what we're doing up here. We're not cheerleaders. Come on! I know you've had a bad week. Put forth a sacrifice of praise. Give something God to inhabit. You know you need him, then give him something to inhabit. Sacrifice of praise. I'm preaching myself happy today. Because I know what the enemy's been doing. Why won't he has the power to get me out? Why won't he? Because what you need is more than deliverance. He wants to give you more than just deliver you out of the mess that you're in the adversity. God wants to anoint you in adversity. Is that a, yeah. God wants to anoint you in adversity. Y'all remember the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember that story? They said, King, we will not bow. Okay, then teenage boys in the fire. Heat it up 7 times hotter. Heat it up. Throw him in there. But even if he, God will deliver us. My God, our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow. Are you willing to say that? When the heat gets turned up, will you still say, I? So what happened? He didn't deliver them out. God got in the fire with them. He anointed them so much that not a single hair on their body was singed. According to scripture, he needed to anoint them so a heathen king could know that God was more powerful than him. What am I saying? Simply this. God is not going to deliver you out of it. He wants to anoint you in it and walk you through it so people around you can see. I don't know why they're continuing to go to that church.
I'm facing all kinds of adversity. Somebody inside the church knows you're going through something, and they're looking at you standing in worship, and you're giving a sacrifice of praise. You can even bless somebody in the house. You can actually be used by somebody, for somebody else in this house, to actually be an example of what it takes, because they know if we're a tight-knit family, I know that you're going through something. I know you're going through something. We're all going through something. Yours may be a little worse. And the harder the adversity, the greater my response in worship should be. We got to understand adversity. Understand that regardless of what I'm going through, God is for me. God is with me. The devil's the one attacking me. God may be in allowing it, but that's only because he's trying to anoint me so that other people can see that it's all about Jesus. It's never been about me anyway. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God is using the adversity that you are going through right now to prepare you and propel you into your destiny. Can I pray for you this morning? I'm done. I did it. 11:59. Come on, let's stand together. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it is inspiring, full of hope. Hard truth, but full of hope. So, Father, anybody here today that is struggling, facing adversity, God, I ask right now that you would just comfort them in this moment, in the last few seconds that we have, God, that you would comfort them, strengthen them, and may they hear these words: you are not alone. You are not alone. Though the weapon may be formed, it will not prosper against you. And all those that rise up against you will fall. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "Touch not my anointed." We always, preachers, like to quote that because it says, "And do the prophets no harm." But let me take it back to what I just said about being anointed. God wants to anoint you through and in the middle of your adversity. And woe is anyone at that moment who touches, says anything against you because you are anointed. Let God fight your battles. Let God fight your war. It's already won anyway. We're just spitting game. So, Father, right now, I ask that you would encourage every single person in here today. Father, anoint them in the middle of the mess. Encourage them in the middle of adversity. In closing, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's somebody that says, "I need to make Jesus center of my life, he needs to become first. I've let other things be the center of my world." If that's you, will you just lift your hand so I can pray for you right where you stand? I want Jesus to be the center. Hands, 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 hands all over this room. I want Jesus to be the center. Say this prayer with me, everybody loud. Oh God, I come before you now with all my mess. I need you to come in, clean me up, make me new, make me whole. Protect me, God, from the adversary. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my deliverer. Be my teacher. Come into my life. Jesus, be the center of it all. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.